Arthur Anderson had been Enron's auditor since 1985. Over the years, the relationship had grown extremely close. Anderson didn't just audit Enron's books. It also provided consulting services, internal audit work, and tax advice. In 2000 alone, Enron paid Arthur Anderson $52 million, $25 million for auditing, $27 million for consulting and other services. That kind of money created conflicts of interest. Auditors are supposed to be independent watchdogs, but when a single client generates tens of millions in fees, the incentive shifts. The question becomes, how do we keep this client happy? Inside Enron, aggressive accounting was the norm. The company used special purpose entities, off-balance sheet partnerships, to hide debt and inflate profits. Enron's chief financial officer, Andrew Fasto, personally profited from these entities, creating a web of transactions that were almost impossible to follow. Arthur Anderson's job was to audit these financial statements and confirm they were accurate. But Anderson's Houston office was deeply embedded with Enron. Some Anderson partners had worked at Enron. Some Enron executives had worked at Anderson. The line between auditor and client had blurred. In February 2001, a new Enron employee named Sharon Watkins began reviewing the company's financials. She was shocked by what she found. The off-balance sheet partnerships seemed designed to deceive investors. She wrote an anonymous letter to Kenneth Lay, warning that Enron could implode in a wave of accounting scandals. Lay ordered an internal review. Arthur Anderson was brought in to help. The firm concluded there were no major issues. Enron's stock continued to rise, but behind the scenes, cracks were forming. By October 2001, Enron's stock was collapsing. The company announced a $638 million loss and a $1.2 billion reduction in shareholder equity. The Securities and Exchange Commission opened an inquiry. On October 23rd, David Duncan, the Arthur Anderson partner in charge of the Enron audit, sent an email to the Houston team. The subject line read, SEC Inquiry. Duncan reminded his team of the firm's document retention policy. That policy allowed, indeed required, the destruction of non-essential documents that were no longer needed. But in practice, what followed was something very different. Over the next 2 weeks, Anderson employees in Houston shredded thousands of documents related to Enron. Boxes of paper were fed into shredders, computer files were deleted, email threads were purged. The shredding was so intense that shredding machines jammed and had to be repaired. On November 8th, Arthur Anderson received a subpoena from the SEC. The shredding stopped immediately. But by then, an enormous amount of evidence was gone. Internally, Anderson executives were horrified.